Next on BYUSN, why will this season play out differently than last for BYU football? We'll discuss a number of what-if scenarios and what they would mean for BYU season. Former BYU and NFL defensive back Derwin Gray will join us and will elaborate on where he has the most confidence in BYU right now.
We'll preview the Big 12 football season with Barry Trammell of the Tulsa World and look ahead to the BYU-Oklahoma State game. And we'll celebrate number 3 women's soccer's epic season opening win over number 19 Wisconsin last night at South Field.
The run up. The save from Lynette Hernandez.
You'll get nothing and like it. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Friday, August 16th. We are 15 days away from an actual BYU football game. I am Spencer Linton. He is the BYUSN Karma Tracker, Jason Shepard.
The BYU Sports Nation Karma strikes again. We were able to have Allie Fryer.
Oh, how about that?
On the show the other day, and BYU wins 1-0 last night.
Who scored the goal, Jason?
That would be one Allie Fryer.
Wow, okay. We'll just go ahead and add that to the growing chapters of the Karma Annals.
So after the game, I actually interviewed her and Lynette Hernandez together post-game. And she walked up, speaking of Allie, I'm like, BYU Sports Nation Karma's real. She just got a big smile her face.
Yeah.
Everyone knows. And if they don't know, soon they will know.
We have to indoctrinate the younger athletes specifically,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
We got to remind them.
It's a real thing, and it manifested itself once again last night at Southfield.
I can't wait for you to write the book and have a special chapter on how we drew a random World Cup team out of a hat once upon a time. It happened to be Croatia. And then magically, Croatia just went to the World Cup final.
Yeah, magically.
That's got to be the craziest manifestation. Oh, we've seen some doozies.
Yeah.
Last night was pretty good.
And it was a big, big win. We've got lots more about that we'll certainly get into. But, big win for women's soccer last night.
On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
We can fix that offensive line. That fixes the run game. That opens up the pass game.
I think defensively, I expect us to take another big step forward this year.
Where are you the best? Identify it, expand upon it, and be great at it.
2 weeks from tomorrow, BYU football opens their season against Southern Illinois on the final day of August. It's the time of year where we typically, Jason, try and predict how the season may go. If you haven't, become accustomed to what we do on this show, we sometimes do things like that. So today we're going to travel into the multiverse of BYU football seasons.
If Marvel can do it, why can't BYU Sports
We can.
Nation?
We can. We have our own Doctor Strange at play here, coming back with different what-if scenarios, Jason. And depending on the what-if scenario, we will look into how that would now impact and affect the remainder of or the overall entity of the season for BYU football. So let's start with this one. Jason, if you remember, BYU started the season 3-0 last year.
Yes.
Perfect non-conference. What if BYU does the same thing this year and they go 3-0 in non-conference, handling Southern Illinois, upsetting SMU on the road, and then surviving the rivalry, there's a rivalry name for the BYU-Wyoming game. I'm trying to remember what it is.
Ooh, yes.
Something with a boot, okay? It's not the Beehive boot.
Aren't they all about
there's,
boots?
There's something with the boot in Wyoming, yes.
Gonna have to look it up.
What if they survive that game, too, in Wyoming Super Bowl, and they go 3-0?
Well, if they go 3-0, I think they've answered at least one question. And that to me, it was the SMU game.
Okay.
And we've heard people that have said that they think BYU's only going to win one of the 3 non-conference teams. Now, I don't buy that at all. I think worst case scenario in conference play is 2-1. But if you go 3-0 in conference play, then I think you've already come out of the gate and answered one of your questions, and that's the game at SMU. I think it also sets you up that you did your job to send yourself into conference play on the right note. And it keeps open your chances of getting to at least 6 wins. So for me, if BYU goes 3-0 in non-conference, BYU is on track to go to a bowl game.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We all felt that way last year, too.
Yes.
If BYU starts 3-0, oh, they're going bowling. They're going to win at least three Big 12 games. They didn't. 2-7 in Big 12 play.
Different end to the schedule this year.
Yes. Yes, there is. Now, but is last year's schedule in the Big 12 ultimately more difficult than what BYU will face this year? They're pretty comparable.
Yeah.
I know that BYU had Texas and Oklahoma on the schedule last year, but they had a road game at Utah, which is essentially like playing at Texas.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss more about that in the whip in terms of lines and odds makers and where they put that. So I would love to say that if BYU goes 3-0, oh, they're going bowling. But I probably am cautious because of what happened last year. And BYU hosts or plays how many ranked teams in Big 12 play? Five? They have
five.
Four of them. Five ranked opponents. BYU didn't face five ranked teams last year in Big 12 play. Did they? No. I think it was three, maybe four. So more ranked opponents. Unfortunately, I'm not in the camp of if BYU goes 3-0 non-conference play, they are going bowling. Like, I just...
You can't go there.
I cannot go there right now because of the balanced difficulty of the Big 12 schedule. Certainly, it gives them a head start.
Yeah.
Makes me feel way better about it.
What it does is it doesn't put them behind the track to get to bowl
for sure.
Eligibility.
What I do believe is BYU, again, I'm not going to say they are going to be bowl eligible if they're 3-0, but I don't think it will come down to the last week of the season for BYU to get bowl eligible if they can get off to a quick start.
Okay, so I mentioned this a second ago. Here's another what if, and it references Bill Conley's non-conference prediction. What if BYU goes 1-2 in non-conference?
Then the Vegas odds makers are probably right to set the over-under at 4.5 wins. How many wins, if you go 1-2, if BYU, and we are assuming that they would beat Southern Illinois and lose at SMU and lose at Wyoming in that instance, but if BYU loses those two road games, how are they going to come back and beat a Kansas State team at home all of a sudden that is picked to win the conference next to Utah? Like, then BYU is staring at a real possibility, Jason, of starting the season, 1-4. Like, because you have to host Kansas State and then play on the road at Baylor. Not saying BYU couldn't figure some things out and turn it around. I know every individual football game is like its own little universe.
Yeah.
Like, because of the way that the ball bounces and things go, how things go, and injuries that are involved. We don't know what Kansas State and Baylor and Arizona are going to be by the time BYU gets to them. But if BYU starts 1-2, there's a real possibility it could be 1-4. And the Cougars are looking at a max, I think, five wins on the season.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page in terms of the ultimate wins, if that's the scenario that
plays
out.
See, I can go to the idea that BYU will not go bowling if they start the season 1-2.
That's my answer. What if BYU goes 1-2 in non-conference? First off, they're in big trouble. And it for me at that point, if they start out 1-2, I think it is going to be very hard to get to six wins and be bowl eligible. I think at that point your wins are probably capped at about five.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost one of those things, like, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to bring it up that it's even an option. Because I mentioned this before. To me, in that non-conference schedule, worst case scenario has to be 2-1. Has to be 2-1. You got to beat Southern Illinois. And I've said this, at Wyoming does not concern me like it concerns other people. I'm not saying that they can't lose. I'm just not expecting that. I think BYU handles their business in Laramie. It's the game. It's SMU. That is the one to me that will define how the early start of the season looks.
Sure.
So if they go 1-2, they're in big trouble.
That SMU game carries some similar feelings like the Arkansas game did for me last year, where I thought if BYU could win at Arkansas, oh my gosh, they're way ahead of the curve. And they did. And we're going to get to some of what that meant for BYU last season because they beat Arkansas in just a moment. But yeah, if BYU goes 1-2, they're not going bowling in non-conference. And if they start 2-1, it's probably going to come down to the final 2 weeks of the season to get to 6 wins. Like, even if they go 2-1. Like, that's where it's the reality of this for BYU. But what if BYU, like last season, let's push it forward a few more games,
okay,
starts 5-2. BYU starts 5-2 against the schedule as it is constructed now. What would that mean for this season? Last season, even that didn't guarantee BYU a bowl game. They lost 5 in a row. But, again, the schedule shakes out a little bit different this year than it did last year. You don't finish with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Yep. If BYU goes 5-2, they are guaranteed of a bowl game.
Okay. How many wins?
Well, I think if you're at 5-2, and let's put this, if my math is correct, 5-2 would mean you're 5-2 after the Oklahoma State game.
Yes.
So that means then you've still got at UCF, at Utah, home for Kansas, at Arizona State versus Houston to round things out. I think you're at least 7 wins
yes.
with that. You're going to get to 6 if you start out 5-2. But I think then at a minimum, you're probably looking at 7 wins if you can start 5-2 this year.
8 wins is a real possibility if you throw in a bowl game if BYU starts 5-2. 8 wins. How many of you, knowing what oddsmakers say that BYU is going to win 4 or 5 games, would be okay if BYU was in the realm of 7 regular season wins and a shot at 8 in a bowl game, and probably a decent bowl game? If you're 5-2, it also likely means that BYU has a winning record in Big 12 play.
You're right.
Because there would automatically be 2 quality wins for the Cougars in the first 7. Maybe 3, right?
Right.
You go 5-2, doesn't that mean that BYU would have to have at least 2 or 3 quality wins?
Well, you're beating at least Oklahoma State, Arizona, or K-State. You're beating at least one of them.
One of those teams.
So you've already proven what you can do against upper echelon.
Yes.
By beating any of them.
So 5-2 this season, point being, is very different than 5-2 last season was, because the schedule was backloaded last year. This year, it's more front-loaded.
Right.
When you finish with Kansas at Arizona State and Houston, very different than what BYU played last year when it was, what, Iowa State, Oklahoma, and at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Not to mention the game before that at West Virginia and at Texas. Look at that gauntlet that BYU ran through and stumbled upon as they finished last year. We're so close to just getting one of those, specifically the last 2 games, couldn't do it. It'll be different. BYU's 5-2, they're in the realm of winning 8 games, which would be amazing. Okay?
All right. It is a rarity in college football these days for this to happen, but hey, it's why we call it the what if, right?
Okay.
What if BYU has the same starting quarterback all season?
It's happened twice since BYU entered independence. It was Taysom Hill in 2013 who started every game, and Zach Wilson in 2020. Even Jaren Hall didn't play every game in 2021 because he was injured for the bowl game. Taysom Hill got injured against Utah State to close out 2016. So, Jason, it's so abnormal that this happens.
Yeah. It's not even just a BYU thing. It's just college football in general.
Yes. And I feel like BYU, in 2013, they played a hard schedule. That was a tough schedule where they had to go to Notre Dame and to Wisconsin, and they faced Georgia Tech at home and had to play Texas at Virginia. Granted, Virginia was not a great team, but BYU played 7 Power 5s. They played Washington in a bowl game. They went 8-5 that season. So all things considered, decent, pretty good when you had Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams. In 2020, we know what happened with the weird COVID schedule, but you had your same starter all year, and BYU went 11-1. So I'm leaning toward BYU winning 7 or 8 games if they start the same quarterback all season, because that means, one, you trust your quarterback.
Yep.
Aaron Roderick has no issues with who he's got behind center, and you develop that chemistry. You have a system truly in place. The continuity matters a ton, and obviously it didn't have an injury to the position. So if your quarterback is good and your offensive coordinator trusts him all year to be behind center and there's no injury, then naturally that bodes well for a team to just have the same leader out there week in and week out. I lean toward maybe 8 wins for BYU like they did in 2013 against a tough schedule if they had the same quarterback all season.
If they have the same quarterback all season, a couple things stand out to me. Obviously, number one, he stayed healthy, which then makes me believe the offensive line play has gotten a lot better and held up. The other part of it is they've not had those down games or something catastrophic where you felt the need to go to somebody else. So to your point, you like what you're getting from your quarterback, whoever it may be. In terms of wins, I think if you've got the same quarterback, I think you are bowl eligible for all the reasons that we mentioned, because I think having that same guy means so many other things around him. But I think you're at least 6 and probably 7.
Oh, no, you bank bowl eligibility. Yeah, you get the same quarterback all year, it's done. They're going bowl.
So, it's rare. And it's not something that it's like a dog on the quarterback or anything like that. It's just injuries happen. And everybody's gunning for the quarterback. And unfortunately, to have a quarterback start and finish the season, just unfortunately for them, it has been rare because injuries happen. And hopefully that's not the case. I would love for BYU to be able to have a quarterback that starts week one and we see him in the bowl game too.
Well, and it's just not injuries either. Sometimes quarterbacks just frankly don't play well.
Right.
And you have to make a change. And BYU has certainly done that.
Yep.
Notably when Zach Wilson took over for Tanner Mangum in 2018. That was a huge deal. And it had nothing to do with Tanner being injured. It was just, it's time to make a change.
Yep.
We all hope that is not required this season.
Absolutely.
On either account, injuries or quarterback play not being what it needs to be.
Yep.
We shall see. But a quarterback in play for all 12 games, understandably, obviously, means good things. Our question of the day, what do you expect to be the biggest difference about BYU football this year compared to last year? Maybe it is quarterback play, what we were just talking about. Maybe it's BYU and the offensive line establishing a ground game, a run game. We'll see. First answer in, Josh S. on X says, offensive line. The Hogs in front change everything. I'm optimistic about the defensive line, increased speed, and a fast, experienced quarterback, but that offensive line will be the biggest change this year. At SwooshLife59 on Instagram says, plain and simple, more wins.
Well,
straight
I'll take
up.
That. Yeah, we'll take
straight
that.
Up. You're going to have at least one more win. He said more wins, plural. So Swoosh Life, I believe, thinking 7 or more for BYU. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
If you miss any interview shows or games, you can find them on BYUSN.com, or you can download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU TV sports content on demand.
Up next, former BYU and NFL defensive back Derwin Gray will join Jason Shepherd to discuss where he has the most confidence in BYU football right now. This is BYUSN.
It's achievable to get the 8 wins. If you want to go out there and protect the home field and pick up some games on the road, the path to 8 is achievable.
They've got to find their bread and butter.
They have a lot to prove, and that's the truth of it. And as a player, that should excite you.
Welcome back to Studio B. We are live with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. Before the show today, I was able to catch up with former BYU and NFL defensive back Derwin Gray. Cougar fans love him. We love having him on the show. Here's my conversation with Derwin Gray. You are a former player, obviously, but you are such a great example and an ambassador for BYU football. Anytime somebody sees you on social media, you're decked out in BYU gear, you are always singing the praises of BYU football and all things BYU. You have been one of the great people that showcases the Cougars. Why is that so important to you?
Yeah, you know, well, first of all, thank you. Second of all, I think the older you get, I'm 53 now, and so you have a chance to reflect on life. And I'm grateful that Claude Bassett, a former linebacker coach from BYU, recruited Converse Judson High School, where he recruited me. I'm grateful to play for Lavelle Edwards. And what a lot of people don't know is when Coach Edwards offered me a scholarship in 1989, I hadn't passed my ACT yet. And so I took it three times, and on the last one, I scored a 16, which was the minimal score I could get into BYU. And so I'm thankful for the Coach Edwardses, and I'm thankful for Coach Dick Felt and Tom Homo and all my teammates, but I'm thankful for the professors. And so today, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm an author, I have a doctorate in the New Testament, and I go back to thinking about how BYU took a chance on me. And Mike King, who was an associate athletic director, actually officiated my wedding. So a non-LDS guy and his wife get their wedding officiated by an LDS bishop. So for me, I'm just appreciative for the people who have poured into me and helped me to get where I'm at. And so I just want to give that back.
For all the reasons that you just mentioned, is it safe to say that you don't take too kindly for all of the outside predictions of BYU football only winning four games this year?
So one of the things about playing in the NFL and one of the things about understanding modern day football and being a football purist is you don't take things like that offensive. So if you look at, so BYU's recruiting ranking the last 5 years has been number 64 on average. In order to win a national championship, you have to recruit more 4 and 5 stars than you do 3 stars. And so when you look at who has an opportunity to win a national championship, it's the teams who rank consistently in the top 5 in recruiting. So for me, I have a baseline understanding of what I expect us as a team to get out of our talent. And so based on what we did last year and coming into this year with questions at quarterback, I can see why the outside perspective says we're going to win 4 games. However, I have inside sources and intel that tells me that this team is built different. And the person who told me that, I trust immensely. And I think there's just something different about this team that's going to catalyze the chemistry and produce a team that, number one, is disciplined. And number two, on defense, creates turnovers. And on offense, is physical. In the Big 12, we're not going to win shootouts. We're going to have to play old school, ground and pound, nasty, physical football. BYU defensives that were really good, what they did is they had an edge to them. I'm thinking of Bob Davis from back when I played, the Rocky Beagles, and throughout the history, we've had guys who had an edge on defense that was borderline nasty, almost against the rules, but not quite there. And I think there's going to be a reemergence of that type of nastiness. So when you don't have as much talent as the other teams, you got to hit the talent out of the other team.
Knowing how important the quarterback position is just in general in football, you got to have a quarterback. How much do you think the fact that BYU went in with some uncertainty in terms of who was going to be the guy, how much do you think that would change perception if BYU had a guy coming into the year that they already knew? Do you think that's playing a role in some of the lower expectations simply because that quarterback position is in flux going into the year?
Oh, absolutely. Common sense would say, hey, you had a young guy who played 4 games last year with mixed reviews. You have an older guy who hadn't played in 2 years. So that makes common sense. But if I could step back into history just a little bit, I remember in 1989, BYU had some questions at quarterback. There was a veteran guy by the name of Sean Covey, and there was this young skinny dude from Texas named Ty Detmer. And people wasn't really for sure. And that year, we went on to be ranked as high as number 4 in the nation. We beat we were really, really good. So what competition does is it brings out the best in you. And so whoever wins the competition knows that they have to continuously play at a high level in order to stay on the field. And I think with modern day football, the way it's played, there are things that you can manipulate on offense that may overcome the lack of certain skill sets. And, you know, we're pretty deep at running back. I think our offensive line is going to be retooled. And I think Coach Kalani and A-Rod are going to develop more of an NFL style of offense where it's ground and pound and eat up the clock. The Big 12 is like a track meet. And so what you want to do when you're playing a team that's fast and they score a lot of points, the best defense is a ground and pound offense.
This is a situation where going into this year, it's now year two in the Big 12. And we've had this conversation with some other guests that have been on the show. If you were in the situation where you were on the team last year and you were going through that experience for the first time, how much more confident would you be having gone through that in a full year and now having an idea of what to expect game in and game out? How much of a factor do you think that can be heading into year two in the Big 12?
Oh, I think it's a huge factor because whenever you step into a better conference with better teams, what I want the fans to understand is this, is that when you play football, each game is cumulative. And so when you play good team after good team after good team, it's like a boxing match where by the time you get to the seventh round, you've got body shots and those shots have accumulated over time. So I know what Coach Kalani's done in bringing in a new strength staff is they have prepared these young men in the offseason to say, hey, we are in a heavier punching division now. And so we've got to not only learn how to take the blows, but we got to learn how to give the blows. And now that they've had a taste of that, that is going to prepare them that every single week is a heavyweight battle. And we have more depth. Coach Gennaro was saying the other day that BYU has 8 cornerbacks that can play. In all my years of following BYU, which is a long time now, we have never had 8 cornerbacks who can play. And I know we're upgrading at every other position. And so you can see how our recruiting efforts is building a Big 12 Power 4 football team. It's about Jimmys and Joes, and then it's about the strength staff, and it's about the culture. Culture is just not what you say. Culture are the behaviors that develop habits. So when you get into the game, you don't rise to the moment, you rise to the level of your preparation and your habits. And I think a whole year of experience in Big 12 football has given us an opportunity to say, this is what it's like, this is what it's going to require.
Former BYU and NFL defensive back Derwin Gray joining me here on BYU Sports Nation. And I want to go back to something that you just talked about. And I certainly don't want to put you on the spot in terms of like ultra specific if you haven't followed it that closely. But what has been your impression? I know you talk with Coach Guilford, so maybe you have some insight on this. It's obviously a position group that you know well. What do you know and what are your expectations for this BYU secondary?
Well, so I think the reemergence of Micah Harper, if he can stay healthy, and I believe that he's going to, I believe he's going to have a phenomenal year. Jacob Robinson, you know, right now he has 8 career interceptions. In the modern era, Kai Nakoa and I both have 14 for third all time. I think he can challenge that 14 picks and maybe even surpass it. Jacob has the ability to play offense on defense. He's willing to tackle. I think that a Beatty up front is going to have a breakout year. We brought in some bigger, stronger defensive tackle types. We've got some young, hungry backers. And then we got some young guys fighting for opportunities to play in the secondary. So we have leveled up the talent. And so this is what I'm hoping is that our defense will be a defense that makes team earn their touchdowns. So don't give up big plays on blown coverages or missed tackles. Secondly, we've got to learn to play offense on defense. What does that mean? It means this: everybody swarm to the ball. When the ball carrier is secured, strip the football. Anybody can make a tackle. The great defenses make tackles and strips the football. And so that has to be taught. That has to be practiced. If we can lead the conference in turnovers. And if we can lead the conference being the least penalized team, we're going to win 8 to 9 games, and we're going to beat the team that is north of Provo that wears red. I'm sworn to an allegiance to never even pronounce their names. They're a great team, respect. But if we do those two things, we're going to beat them, and we're going to win 8 to 9 games, maybe even more. But 8 to 9 is what I think we can do with our talent. But we've got to be disciplined. We've got to be determined. And we have to be dedicated at levels to say, if you beat me, it's not going to be because I beat myself.
Look, I don't know how everybody else feels, but I'm feeling pretty good about the season now. Forget all these expectations of 4.2 wins. We need to have you on every day because you lift everybody's spirits up, and that's why we love it. And by the way, me asking you about whether or not you know specifics about it. Of course you know specifics about it. Look at you. You're decked out in BYU stuff. You've got a blue backlight in the background. Of course you know the secondary for BYU football. Derwin, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. It's always great to have you on the show. As I mentioned at the start, you are an unbelievable ambassador for all things BYU, and we cannot say thank you enough. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I add one more thing?
Please.
Yeah, so something that I think is really important to me, and I think it's something that needs to be highlighted that often is not. I propose that Kalani Sitake and his staff has recruited not only the most ethnically diverse football team in BYU history, but I think the most ethnically diverse football team perhaps in all of college football when you look at the number of African-American players, Polynesian players, and Caucasian players. And for a school like BYU with its history to do that is a major, major accomplishment. And I know people are going to push back and say, well, what matters is how they play. That's true on one part. But let me tell you another story, though. In 1989, when I get to BYU, and there's only 9 to 10 other Black men on the team, that affects you. And so representation by identification matters immensely. And so I think that's something that needs to be talked about and needs to be celebrated, because in a time of deep ethnic racial division, BYU football has cooked up something quite beautifully diverse, and I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, absolutely, and thank you for bringing that up. I know that, you know, when we're talking about football right now, but when you look up and down all of the rosters in the BYU athletic department, the BYU administration has done a fantastic job of trying to change that perception of what you were just talking about, and what you brought up with the football team is a perfect example of that. Derwin, thank you again so much for joining us today. It was fantastic. Thanks.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs indeed.
All right, that's
Derwin Gray joining us here on BYU Sports Nation. Fantastic as always, and we always appreciate his time. Check out the latest Her Why podcast with BYU women's soccer head coach Jennifer Rockwood as she looks back on her 30-year career at BYU, sharing how she's seen the program evolve and how women's athletics has grown at BYU. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
After the break, which Cougar in the NFL would benefit the most from finishing the NFL preseason strong? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. I've got a fever, Jason. A fever for more trivia.
All right.
BYU football trivia. No cowbell playing, but that'd be awesome if you could do it, Colton. What do you have for us today, man? We were on point yesterday. Let's try and make it 2 in a row.
I got no cowbells for you today, but here is today's question. BYU has had 10 players selected as first-round draft picks in the history of the program. of those 10, two were drafted in the same draft in the same year. Who are the two players?
In the same draft, two first rounders. Jim McMahon in 1982 was the fifth overall pick. Right. Was somebody else drafted in the first round of that year? Like again, BYU has not had a lot of first round draft picks overall, 10.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of recent, you know, Ezekiel Ansah.
Yeah, Ziggy was five.
Zach Wilson, obviously number two overall. But
I'm trying to think of a second first round pick in the same year.
It's got to be in the 80s. It's got to be in the 80s, right?
Can we just say 82?
Did 85 have, or 86 have two first round draft picks?
Yeah, this one I don't know.
Maybe Jason Buck and...
This is a 100% guess. I'm going to say 1982. Oh, that's not even the question. The question is who the players.
Yeah, who are the
players? Can I go with 82 and he comes up with the players?
who are the players?
I have no idea. I'm stumped on this one because I don't remember two in the first round together in the same year.
Wow. You have stumped us, Colton.
Yeah. You got one of them, Spencer. It is Jason Buck in 1987.
87, okay.
Sean Knight was the other.
Sean Knight!
87. Yeah.
So Jason Buck was one of them. Okay.
Okay, you're on the right track.
Wow, yes. Like I was recalling something in the mid to late 80s. Obviously, Jason Buck won the Outland Trophy. Sean Knight, oft forgotten. Incredible player. Great trivia question. 50%
well
again,
done.
Jason.
Well done.
50% again. Let's get to today's headlines.
Number three BYU women's soccer opened the 2024 season last night with an impressive 1-0 victory over number 19.
That's a 100% victory.
Yes, it is. Wisconsin behind Allie Fryer's goal in the 17th minute and an incredible PK save from Lynette Fernandez.
As the Cougars play centrally, Bailey, centrally still, Fryer. Fryer, one defender to beat, gets into the area, shot, and goal! The Cougars open on top! The run-up, the save from Lynette Hernandez! Parries wide, and we stay 1-0.
That save by Lynette Hernandez.
Gritty.
Was massive.
Gritty.
Hernandez totaled six saves last night, her seventh career game with five or more. Fryer's goal, by the way, was the 20th of her BYU career. BYU now will play its next three games on the road, beginning next Thursday at number 12, St. Louis.
BYU football fall camp nearing a wrap. We're just 2 weeks away from tomorrow from game number one. Defensive end Tyler Batty named yesterday to the Rotary Lombardi Award preseason watch list given to the college football offensive lineman, defensive lineman, or linebacker who, in addition to outstanding performance and ability, best exemplifies the character and discipline of NFL Hall of Fame head coach Vince Lombardi. And Raider DeMooney, Keanu Hill, Waylon Lapuaho, David Latu, and Austin Leausa were named the Polynesian College Football Player of the Year award watch list.
BYU Track and Field's Megan Hunter was named as the Big 12 nominee for the NCAA Woman of the Year. The NCAA Woman of the Year program honors academic achievements, athletic excellence, community service, and leadership. Hunter is a two-time first-team All-American in the 800 meters.
Okay, Jason, 10 seconds because I teased it. BYU player that would benefit most from a strong finish to the NFL preseason.
Oh, it's Zach Wilson. It's Zach Wilson.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. It's the one that we both said that we're paying the most attention to.
Yes.
He's also the one that can benefit the most for having a fantastic preseason.
And for what it's worth, looked decent in his preseason debut.
He looked more than decent.
Yes.
He looked really good.
Yep. After the break, we'll preview the Big 12 football season with Barry Trammell of the Tulsa World. He's an expert on Oklahoma State football and certainly the Big 12. Which storylines is he following closest this fall? BYU in there somewhere? This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. It's time now to welcome in friend of the program and a guy who has been covering Big 12 football for a very long time. He is very much an expert and an insider in all things Big 12 Conference. Barry Trammell, columnist for the Tulsa World, is back on BYUSN. Barry, great to talk with you again. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing great. How's things in the great state of Utah?
They're good.
As we count down to opening day.
Yeah, good. A little rainy, but that's trailed off now, and it's just sunshine. Hopefully, as we head into what we hope is a bowl season for BYU football. That said, and we'll talk about the Cougars specifically in a moment, but Barry, if you were writing a column, and maybe you already have or will do this, and you had your top three Big 12 storylines to present to readers, what would be at the top of that list as we begin again?
Well, I think the first two come real easy, which are the wild nature of this league, the fun status of Big 12 football, in that nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows who's going to win. Nobody knows who's going to slot into which spots. I mean, it's open range, and we don't have other conferences like that. Certainly, there's a lot of interesting games in the Big Ten and SEC and ACC, but the idea that just about anybody could contend and half the league is a legitimate contender to win the league, that's foreign in college football, modern college football. So it's going to be a fun league. Number two is, will the Big 12 get multiple teams in the 12-team college football playoff? Mm. Brave new world, new format. Everybody's excited. A lot of teams now get a chance at that college football playoff. But the SEC, the Big Ten, they hold a lot of power. They hold a lot of sway. They've politicked covertly and overtly about all the extra spots. Will they relegate the Big 12 and the ACC to just the league champion? I think that's one thing to keep an eye on. And then number three, just how will the newcomers fare? Last year we were talking about the four newcomers, BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, Houston. Lo and behold, we got four newcomers. You guys know some of them pretty well. We know one of them a little bit, used to be in the Big 12, Colorado. So just another year of newness. Here's what I tell people. This is not really the Big 12 conference. It's not the Big 12. It's a new conference. Half the league was not in this conference 14 months ago. Literally half the league was not in the Big 12 14 months ago. So they still got the Big 12 name, but it's a brand new conference.
Let's just call it the brand new conference. All right. We'll call it that, Barry.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Barry, do you fall into the camp that believes that the Big 12 champion will come out of the Oklahoma State-Utah game?
Not necessarily. I think the winner of that game does have the big edge, though. It's the first showdown we've got. We have a Kansas State Arizona game, but the Big 12 being the Big 12, that's not a conference game. But it is going to be fun. The next week, we've got Oklahoma State goes to Kansas State, and I think that's when Utah plays Arizona. So by the end of September, we're going to have a pretty good feel for where some of the best teams fall. You got the graphic showing five Big 12 teams in the top 25. I actually think you can throw three other teams as potential dark horses to win the conference: Iowa State, West Virginia, and don't sleep on Central Florida. Mm. I'll tell you a secret, guys. My friend Jenny Carlson does a podcast. I was on her show back-to-back weeks talking about different things, but she asked me the same question different ways, week one and week two, basically who's going to win the Big 12. The first week, I think I said Utah. The second week, I couldn't remember what I said, so I said Kansas State. I wrote a column last week, and I literally went through every Big 12 game on my own and saying, I think this is going to happen. And then I just charted up the standings, and lo and behold, I had Central Florida finishing second, and I picked them to win in Arlington. So in a matter of 3 weeks, I picked three different teams to win the Big 12. So
Hey, at least you covered your bases three times, yeah. So you're looking pretty good.
I guess that's what they mean by hedging your bets. I'm not a bettor, but so anything could happen. I don't know. But the one thing I like about this Big 12, the conference, I thought, did a pretty good job of equitable scheduling, right? I mean, I think nobody has a huge advantage. Kansas actually has a fairly easier schedule than most, but it's not terribly one-sided. West Virginia's got a pretty difficult one, but for the most part, Utah, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Arizona, those teams, their conference schedules are pretty close. from what we know now. So nod to the Big 12. I think the schedule makers did a pretty good job.
Barry Trammell, columnist for the Tulsa World, is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, let's talk BYU-Oklahoma State, a Friday night game in Provo, and specifically what Cowboys fans are anticipating after BYU pushed them to the brink and almost kept them out of the Big 12 title game last year. What are your initial thoughts and maybe a gauge on the fan base of what Cowboys fans think of a matchup now on the road with BYU?
Well, I think they are very – those are fortunate enough to make the trip. Two things. I think they're really looking forward to it, and I think they're going to really enjoy it. I got to come to the Oklahoma game in Provo last year. I covered BYU back-to-back weeks. Provo against the Sooners, then Saturday, the next week in Stillwater against the Cowboys. So I think they're going to have a blast. I think they're looking forward to it. I think they expect a tough game. You know, the 23 Cowboys made the Big 12 championship game by surviving a variety of close games. That was the season finale. OSU had to beat the Cougars. BYU dominated the first half. As everybody knows in Provo, the game ended up going to overtime. Cowboys survived. But I think Oklahoma State knows there's really not too many easy outs in the Big 12. The, you know, I think, was it Brett Yormark called this the deepest conference in America? I don't know if it's the deepest, but it's, I think it's the most parity-driven conference. And that doesn't mean that only that just you have 11 or 12 teams that are pretty good and could do some damage. I think that means the games are close. So I don't know that Oklahoma State is thinking of going to Provo and winning 35 to 10. I think they're thinking, hey, let's go up there and see if we can win 21 to 20. So I think they know it'll be a tough fight. You know, BYU, so close just against the Oklahoma schools.
Painful.
From a really,
yep.
From a, you know, they're 5-5 going into the last 2 weeks. And, you know, the Sooners on the ropes, they had the Cowboys on the ropes. Easily could have won either game, and that would have been a heck of a year for BYU if you sweep the Oklahoma schools. So I think OSU knows that won't be anything easy about that Friday night in Provo.
Barry, you have been able to see how good Gary Bohannon is when he's firing at all cylinders, and we saw that when he was with Baylor. If Bohannon is the guy that ultimately gets the nod as the starting quarterback for BYU and he can return to that form, what do you think that would mean for BYU this year?
Well, I mean, it looks like they need Bohannon to really be a playmaker and not necessarily a star or a difference maker. But, you know, I think the Cougars need his leadership and his veteran hand. To be honest, I'm not a huge fan of his quarterbacking. I don't know, you know, in the last 15 years, I think Bohannon was one of the least effective Baylor quarterbacks. They've had some really good quarterbacks, and Bohannon seemed like a step down from the Baylor standard. So I was a little bit surprised when BYU brought him in from South Florida and certainly gave him the opportunity to quarterback this team. So I'm not optimistic that he's going to take BYU where it wants to go. He has had some good games, but he's also down at least at Baylor. He's shown that you know, you can generally find somebody better. So that the Bohannon experiment for the Cougs is not something that has made me optimistic about BYU football in 2024.
As he so often does. Barry Trammell calling it as he sees it. We appreciate the time. Can't wait to enjoy the brand new Big 12 conference with you, Barry. It gets underway in just a couple of weeks. Be well. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Hope to see you guys in Provo.
You got it. Barry Trammell, the Tulsa World outstanding columnist. Hey, after the break, where do you expect to see the biggest difference for BYU football this season compared to last? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYUSN. Our question of the day, what do you expect to be the biggest difference for BYU football this year compared to last? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Stephen Hafen on Instagram, who says, BYU has a Big 12 champion as their quarterback. All right. Barry Trammell wasn't super high on him. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
BYU Women's Soccer getting the 1-0 win last night in the season opener over number 19, Wisconsin.
Karma in play. Our thanks to today's guest, Barry Trammell and Derwin Gray. By the way, you can pre-order Dr. Gray's book, Lit Up With Love, Becoming Good News People to a Gospel-Starved World. Check out his social media for more info.
Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason, I am Spencer. Everyone have a great weekend. Go Cougs!
Go Cougs!